This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
The day after, the morning after, I want to know right now, does Bart Scott even have a voice right now? Let me hear you.
Oh, yeah, Kuna Matana. I'm still jacked up on Mountain Dew. I did the responsible thing and went to sleep last night. You know, it was a long day, but, you know, it kept me excited because it was moves that was unexpected. Everybody saw maybe after 10, you know, I told you guys before it started, I said, watch Texans mess up the draft. Watch Jacksonville mess up the draft. And watch everybody. You see how quickly those picks were coming in?
Oh,
people
were
like,
it.
What? They was like, what?
It.
I'm talking about for the top 10. They were like, what? These dummies did.
Roger
what?
Goodell barely sat down.
Yeah, he was like, man, he went down the way to go comb his hair, take a sip of coffee. Yeah. Like, oh, that, what? They did what?
They have 10 minutes. No.
And
no,
we knew it was going. We knew that Aiden Hutchinson pick was going to come in immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And then when, you know, when Houston messed up, they was like, the Jets was man,
Yes,
Rapper's,
you know,
delight.
This Houston's pick of Derek Stingley Jr., the cornerback from LSU, Houston's pick at number 3, gave us a gem from you on the coverage of ESPN Radio's coverage of the NBA NFL draft last night, because it was a moment that when it happened, as it's happening, you couldn't help yourself but react. So let's make this, of course, Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everyone, Bart Scott, in the moment of the draft, when he knew the Jets were picking next, and the Texans did this.
With the third pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Derek Stingley Jr.
Oh, no.
Bless you.
Give me your money.
And that's Straight Talk by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Oh, that is Straight Talk, all right. You burst out laughing and then said, give me your money. What was that all about?
Well, Ian Fitzsimmons was he was stuck on the fact that there's no way that Stingley's going before Sauce. I said, listen, my sources say that Stingley's going and the Jets are going to sprint up to the front of the line and take Sauce Gardner. He was like, well, I'll give you everything in my wallet. I got, you know, I got a Powerball thing. Yeah. So that's why we did. So they would just start laughing at you like I told you. You know what I'm saying? There's certain reasons that certain organizations are always at the top picking, and they always find a way to screw it up. Jacksonville is responsible for all the wide receiver movement that we see. We see Hollywood Brown moving. We see A.J. Brown moving.
We'll get into all
we
that.
We see all that. It's a byproduct of Jacksonville's bad decision by messing up the market and making all these receivers that can chew bubble gum and walk straight say, man, I'm better than that dude. Give me, if he worked that, give me that.
Yeah, that's, you know, another side story of the draft last night was the movement of wide receivers and then the drafting of wide receivers. But as Barb mentioned, at the very top of the draft, the number one overall pick was the one that, I'll tell you what, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, both yesterday in their final mocks, they both had Trayvon Walker going first. And a lot of people were surprised, him, but he was. So he goes first. And as you mentioned, Aiden Hutchinson, it didn't take the line. I believe Walker was still on the stage when you heard the chimes and the pick is in. He was still holding. No, he wasn't there. He was at home. But they were still showing him, celebrating. There was a fan holding the jersey. There was something. All I remember is they're still there on the stage, and you see the pick is in, and you hear the chimes. And it's like, yeah, the Detroit Lions weren't going to waste any damn time. Yeah. And they get the Michigan, the star, Aiden Hutchinson. And then that's when the intrigue began. At number 3 with the Texans and Stingley Jr., the corner. Back-to-back corners in the top 4. Who saw that coming? But you couldn't wait. The minute the Jets made the pick, I know you were thrilled because, Bart, you wanted the sauce. And you got the sauce.
I wanted the sauce, but I wasn't. I was thinking, like, Aquino's there. Imagine what that would be like. But, you know, we have to tip our hats to what George Fant did last year and not surrendering only one sack the entire year playing left tackle because Becton was injured.
Right.
So you have to say the Jets are saying, well, listen, if we get Aquino, that's a position of strength for us right now, and that's just making a strength even stronger. Let's strengthen something that's a weakness for us right now. Let's get the cornerback of the future to go against all these great receivers in the league. And then, by the way, guess what? Everything is still open because we knew exactly what the Giants had to do, and we knew what was next. So it just set the table.
Let's get to that. Right, exactly. Again, the New York teams, this has been New York, New York. I mean, this is what it's been, this top 10, and we've been talking about it the whole time. So the Jets get who they wanted, and Bart's been talking about Sauce Gardner for, I mean, months you've been talking about him. You've been saying it over and over again. We talked to his college coach as well, who said he's going to be insane as a pro. He definitely fits the way the Jets want to play. Now the Jets seem pretty secure at a very important position in the sport, no question about it, and especially in that division too. So you've got that. Then, as you mentioned, the next pick again in New York. Now it's the Giants. And there was a lot of questions here because the Giants have all, it's like, oh, they're just going to take a tackle. They're going to take a tackle. It seems pretty obvious. But if you think about it, they had picks 5 and 7. The two tackles were still on the board. So Right. Really, they didn't have to take Thank a tackle you. First. So they what they did, which is a bit of a surprise, because here's a name that was sliding up and down the board, Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon. Now, Bart, this is where I want to remind everybody why you listen to this show. And by the way, it is Bart and Hahn, if you don't know, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. We had Kayvon Thibodeau on our show. This was during Super Bowl week, right?
Yep.
And we were chatting with him, and there was, you know, we were just, he was already, there were really concerns about Kayvon Thibodeau and whether or not he was going to, he's talent-wise, he could be the best, but there were concerns about how focused he was, why did he go to Oregon when he could have gone to Alabama, all this stuff. And we asked him a simple question about a big market because he seemed to be a guy that was very interested in not just life on the field, but what off the field could do for him. So we talked to him about playing in a big market like New York. His answer, if you're a Giants fan, very interesting. Take a listen.
I mean, it does. I really love it. You know, I'm from L.A., which is probably one of the other meccas of the world. And I honestly feel like I could thrive there, you know, not only as a – I look at a guy like Michael Strahan and then what he was able to do on the field and how it kind of helped him transition to off the field, and I truly see my life being like that.
How about that quote, Bart? That quote right there, if you're a Giants fan. He brings up Michael Strahan, sees himself as somebody who can have that type of career path and the understanding of – I'm not going to do anything if I ain't doing it on the field. Yeah. So it sounds like he's a guy that in a big market, big lights, or the big stage, he'll be extra motivated versus maybe if he went to a smaller market. So perhaps he went to the right place. And if you're the Giants, you got to be pretty excited about getting a guy like that.
No, absolutely. And I told you guys that I talked to Carl Banks. And Carl Banks said he talked to him for an hour and he was excited and he loved the young man and that he was a real player. But once again, thank you, Jacksonville. Thank you, Texans, because that set the table. Because if the Texans would have took Ekwonu, then that would have forced the Giants to take Neal first. But this was the issue was the Giants knew that saying, okay, well, no matter what Carolina does, we still get our tackle.
Right.
But we have an opportunity to get our number one pass rusher that we want in a Wink Martindale type of defense, which needs athletes, not just pass rushers that come up, but multiple guys that can be at different places, that can drop, that can stunt, that can stand up and blitz from the middle, all kind of things. You know what I mean? Consider Wink Martindale, if you're not familiar with who he is, as Rex Ryan. He's a mad scientist with an aggressive style of defense. He needs corners and he needs pass rushers that can get to the passer. Those are the two most essential positions within his defense, and they got one of the best and got arguably one of the twitchiest guys. When you say, well, Bart, what does twitchy mean? That means sudden. That means quick. That means that a guy that can juke you left and right and set you up to get you to stop your feet, whether you're a pass rusher or you're a pass protector or you're a running back that has to get him in space if you have to slide the line the other way.
It is, yeah, so that works out, and it's a great way to describe him as well. And again, as everybody knows, Bart certainly knows what he's talking about, especially on the defensive side. And also, Wink Martindale, remember, was with the Ravens. Bart pays very close attention to things that go on in Baltimore where he played and was a star linebacker many years ago. So as it sets up, and it's – look, and you give credit, too, for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and how they played this, because they get Thibodeau, and as you said, there's still the two tackles on the board, and they get the pick at 7. So what is Carolina going to do? And it was Ekwonu. Okay, great. So the obvious pick, and the Giants did it, Evan Neal, the tackle from Alabama. And we talked to Evan Neal. Talk about another guy that you're impressed with. The Giants hit it out of the park with their two top 10 picks. Hit it out of the park. And then it moves on from there. Then goes the first wide receiver, Drake London. Bit of a surprise? No. He goes to Atlanta. Atlanta gets themselves a big receiver, a big target receiver from USC. Charles Cross, the tackle. He goes next to to Seattle, which they need help on the offensive line. Then we get to 10, and we'll cut it off at the top 10 because we did it yesterday. The Jets back up on the board again. And the Jets, who had their eye on Drake London, pick up Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver from Ohio State, who now he and Zach Wilson, Wilson to Wilson, a guy with a great catch percentage, a guy that I tweeted it yesterday. Zach Wilson's completion percentage just went up by this draft, just went up with this talent. And Lewis Riddick loves this pick. He thinks he's the best wide receiver in the draft. Yep. How excited were you about this pick for the Jets?
I was excited. Listen, I was thinking about Jermaine Johnson because I'm like, well, they got an opportunity to really solidify the defense. We didn't know if Deebo Samuel was still in play, with maybe, you know, trading the two number twos. But this is what this does, right? This allows you to get a cheap, deep threat, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason why I like Garrett Wilson a little bit better than Drake London is because of his vertical speed. So they already have the possession receiver in Elijah Moore. You have another possession receiver with the capability of going deep and a guy like Corey Davis. But now this gives you the guy, the Tyreek Hill, the burner, the DeSean Jackson. Remember, he's a sub 4.3 40 guy, right, as well. So a guy that, you know, played at a high level and a guy that can really, you know, take the top off of the defense. Hmm. And now that allows you to compliment everybody. But I was hoping that they would get Jermaine Johnson. But, you know, I was like, okay, well, this must mean that the Deebo Samuels pick is dead. And now let's see what happens game on.
Right, and then we'll get to what happened later with Jermaine Johnson and all that stuff, because the draft just continued. That's when, right after that pick, is when the trading started happening, and teams started saying, oh, I got to get my guy now. And then it went really off the rails, and that's why, coming up, we'll talk with Mike Tannenbaum about all of that, what happened. He must have been, like for Mike Tannenbaum, for a GM to watch the machinations of the draft and how it unfolded yesterday, it must have been a lot of fun. So we'll get his take on all that stuff coming up in just a few seconds. But first, I do want to tell you that cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering $45 silver unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G in America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Yes, and the moves were coming fast and furious just from the first pick of the draft, and then how quickly the second pick came in. And then the moves after that from 4 through 10, it was a lot of intrigue. And then at 11 on, it was trading up, moving around, maneuvering. Let's bring in Mike Tannenbaum right now to tell us what he saw in that draft. And Mike, let's begin before we get to all the trading. We just talked about the New York teams, and Bart brought up he was hoping to see the Jets get Jermaine Johnson the second at the 10 pick, but they went wide receiver, which you can't complain about that. What did you think, though, of the Jets getting Johnson later in the first by moving into the first and getting a third first-round pick and landing him?
Yeah, I thought it was a great night for the Jets and to come out of it with Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, and then to come back and get Jermaine Johnson. Was a really productive night to get three starters. You know, it's a team that could have used it, and thought they had a really, really good night.
Now, when you look at the draft, you know, we were sitting there together, you know, enjoying ourselves and having fun. I mean, we told Ian Fitzsimmons that hey, Stingley may go third, and if he does, he goes third, he's going to screw the entire board up, and it went nuts after that. But when you look at, you know, some of the guys that fell in the draft, what surprised you most? Was it the Jermaine Johnson the second?
Yeah, I think Derek Stingley going where he did, Bart, as we talked about last night. Candidly, Trayvon Walker going first. I mean, here's a guy that only had 6 sacks on a team that had the lead all season long. I thought Aiden Hutchinson was a better player, and I think Dallas passing on Jermaine Johnson to take Tyler Smith was a surprise because they lost Randy Gregory. They needed a defensive end. So those were some of the surprises that caught my eye.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us right now. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Mike, Bart, both on the coverage, ESPN Radio's coverage of the NFL draft. The first round last night. You'll get rounds 2 and 3 tonight, and coverage begins at 6 p.m. on ESPN Radio. When you see now what happened after the 10th pick, Mike, the movement that was there, and then it was moving up to get wide receivers and also trading wide receivers. Was there a surprise move either made or not made in this first round involving the wide receivers?
You know, Alan, I was surprised that Deebo Samuel didn't get traded, because if you go back a couple years ago with Jalen Ramsey's hold-in with the Jaguars, and that's something that could happen to San Francisco this summer and all the distractions that come with it. If they had a chance to maybe get the 10th pick, that's a little bit of a surprise to me, because they could come out of this with Garrett Wilson or maybe Chris Olave. So that was a surprise, considering that A.J. Brown did get traded and that Deebo didn't.
Do you know that that 10 pick was definitely available? Are we confident that the Jets would have given up the 10 pick for him?
I don't know that, but I'm just saying from a standpoint, if I'm right. San Francisco, I would have been aggressive, be it with Detroit, the Jets, maybe even Green Bay, despite them being a competitor. Mm-hmm. So, again, cut my losses and maximize the value of the player and use the pick last night.
You know, I was surprised at receivers getting traded for picks. And, nothing surprised me more than Hollywood Brown getting traded for picks. But it speaks to where we are, because now we have the understanding that Hollywood Brown went to Baltimore and said he wanted to be moved because he didn't maybe like the fact that he didn't get the ball as much, even though he went for 1,000 yards last year. But, speaking of this new era of where, player empowerment, how would you react to a player coming in like that? Because it seems like players are getting their wishes granted. And I think the Baltimore Ravens got better because they got a position that they needed more in getting Tyler Lindenbaum. And you can replace Hollywood Brown with a Darius Slayton or somebody else that's out there that's on the block as well. How do you feel about these moves and this player empowerment and teams granting these receivers their wishes?
Yeah, I think you got to be as transparent and proactive as possible and just talk to players. Like, I would go to Lamar Jackson and say, hey, here's our vision. Obviously, they got to get Lamar signed and get him under contract long term. And then just work really carefully and closely with your players to say, hey, here's what we can do and why, and here's what we can't do. And obviously, A.J. Brown, that was part of it as well, right, where they couldn't find, mm-hmm. A landing spot, a long-term deal. So to me, I don't know if Hollywood Brown was economics or role, but if I'm Baltimore, I agree. I love what they did. I think they got two really good players in Kyle Hamilton and Tyler Lindenbaum.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us right now. Grade what the Eagles did by making that trade for A.J. Brown, giving up 18 and also giving him $100 million.
Yeah, I like A.J. Brown. I like it. But if you think about it, if you go back a number of years, Alan, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Jalen Reagor, Devontae Smith, they've given up a lot of capital for receivers. Now, they got two great receivers in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, but they put a lot of resources from salary cap resources, draft choice capital, going back to Arcega-Whiteside and Reagor. So hopefully for them, they got it right.
Now, they had to spend money, right? It wasn't free. It cost them a pick, but it also cost them a portion of their salary cap. Do you think they try and get some more draft capital back by maybe putting Reagor on the block for maybe a fourth to fifth round draft pick to try and get some more draft equity so they can continue to move up and down? Because, listen, it is a lot of talent left in this second and third round.
Bart, I just don't know what people are going to give up for Reagor. If you're looking for a receiver, why not try to get a Sky Moore or Christian Watson, guys we'll be talking about tonight. So to me, that makes sense to me, but I just don't know who's going to want to acquire Reagor.
Were you surprised that the Packers were not involved in any of this wide receiver movement?
Yes. They got two great players. Walker's a really, really good player. So is Devontae Wyatt. But if I'm bringing Aaron Rodgers back, I want to give him as many weapons as possible for him to be successful.
The Steelers they stayed home and they got Kenny Pickett, the quarterback, that's to see if he will be the replacement, the future replacement for Ben Roethlisberger, but they did not choose Malik Willis. In fact, nobody did. He's still on the board. First on the Steelers' decision there with Pickett, is that the right one?
I think it is. I don't think he's Ben Roethlisberger, but I think he's rock solid. He reminds me of Chad Pennington, Matt Schaub, really good player. So if I'm them, I like Mitch Trubisky short-term, love Pickett long-term, and considering their options, I thought that was a good decision.
Today is going to be an exciting day as well. So on the Uncle Tannenbaum board, who is the best player available, and who's the player that people are going to fight to get to the top of the second round to go get?
Well, it's an exciting day because I get to spend another 4 or 5 hours with you, young man. So, I mean, who has it better than me? But David Ojabo, to me, you know, if healthy, he was a first-round pass rusher. And tonight starts off with the first pick of the Todd Bowles era in Tampa Bay. And, you know, they could be a little patient. They lost Pierre Paul, so why not pick David Ojabo, wait out the injury, which unfortunately happened during his pro day. They could wind up with a really good player.
And, Mike, I don't know how well you were able to keep Bart in line. I know you were talking about how that's a big part of the challenge for you last night when the Texans made the pick, and then he just started laughing uncontrollably. I imagine you got a little nervous because that was a wicked laugh that I heard from him. It's if he knew something.
Well, yeah, it was great theater, and I would encourage all our listeners to tune in tonight for 4 more hours of Bart and Friends covering the second and third round of the draft. But it was a lot of fun, Alan, and you know, we had a really good debate and talk. And again, I just think Houston made a massive mistake drafting a corner who literally played 10 games in 2 years when they could have a guy in Sauce Gardner who was, to me, an ideal prospect.
Yeah, Stingley was a high school superstar, but really did see a lot of him at the college level. Again, the coverage tonight for the second and third rounds, ESPN Radio, begins 6 p.m. Eastern. On Willis, who should take him? There's a number of teams at the very top of the second round that could use a quarterback, including, I mean, how about this? Would you be surprised if the Giants made that move at 36?
Yeah, they're in play. Seattle's in play. You know, Carolina doesn't have a second or third round pick. They could have been in play. You know, then you get into teams like, you know, there's longer term Tampa Bay could use a quarterback. I think it gets really interesting with Matt Corral and Malik Willis at the top of the second.
All right. Great stuff, Mike. Good to talk to you, and rest up because you're going to need it tonight with Bart.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, I keep Mike going. I keep him up. I keep him from falling asleep. And, Mike, just for the record, that laugh that I had, that was my Fred G. Sanford, you big dummy laugh.
It certainly was. 888-SAY-ESPN is the number, 888-729-3776. Are you happy with what your team did? What more can they do? We want to hear from you about your team. And also, as I just mentioned, with Malik Willis, he is one of the biggest names on the board still now in the second round. What teams make the most sense for him? There was one I mentioned. We'll go a little bit deeper into it coming up next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Is this for Joe
Sending
Douglas?
Send this out to Joe Douglas. You read my mind.
Host LA to Chicago.
West LA. Hey, it was some screw moves that went on. I mean, I like what the Lions did too. The Lions got Jameson Williams. They're going to wait. You pair him with St. Brown, Swift. They already have a tremendous offensive line with Penei Sewell and all the great offensive linemen they got. Jared Goff just got better. You know, we'll wait and see when Jameson Williams is ready. But that should be an explosive offense right there. So that was
a shrewd move
and going to get the new Captain America, the new J.J. Watt, Aiden Hutchinson.
You got to be happy with the Lions. You really do. And you don't say that often to Detroit fans. But I thought that was such an – and that's what happened. Once the Jets took Garrett Wilson, you just saw teams go, all right, there's a run on wide receivers now. Let's get the best ones left. And Olave was somebody – everybody loved him, and the Saints made sure to lock him up. What do you think that means for Michael Thomas's future?
He's there to complement.
You think so?
Remember, they tried to draft and bring Emmanuel Sanders in to create some balance so they can have – they need to have two receivers. You can no longer have just one great receiver. And Michael Thomas restructured his contract. So,
yes, he did.
And they made all that room because they were trying to get Deshaun Watson. So they're no longer in salary cap hell. So they're fine.
Awesome. Okay, so there's that. And then you're basically getting a guy who could be – and you said this the other day talking about this draft – Jameson Williams could be the best wide receiver, like when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Come back healthy and be the best wide receiver in this draft class when it's all said and done. And if you're Detroit, you got yourself a weapon. Now, you won't see him probably until what? After Thanksgiving? I mean, at best?
Yeah. Maybe November. Like, he's ahead of schedule. We watched Cam Akers hurt his knee in the first preseason game.
But for
game,
a rookie, no reason came to rush. You know what I mean?
Well, Cam Akers was only in his second year, and if the team is doing well – you come there. This thing, they got Hockenson, who's a beast. He's like Kittles at tight end. They got St. Brown from USC, Swift from Georgia. Man, they got and listen, that team was good last year.
They played hard.
Their draft should be +3.
Okay. So with that in mind,
what happens in the second round could be very interesting because, I mean, the Lions don't draft again now until, 46, I believe, right?
Yeah, like that's what it looks 46. Like.
But it doesn't mean you can, obviously move up, move down, whatever it is. People are doing this. So with that in mind, there's another player on the board. And there's a lot of teams that, there was a thought, he should go in the first round, but he didn't. That's Malik Willis. Let's take Phil in Vermont with a very interesting theory or question about where Malik Willis could go. Phil.
How's it going, guys? Good to talk to you again today. Mm-hmm. Do you think Malik Willis could get drafted by the Lions if they move up, get him, put him behind Goff, see if Goff gets better? You got that insurance behind him. He gives them time to really develop behind Goff.
You don't have to rush him. What do you think, Bart?
Well, I see that, but also keep in mind that at 40 and 41, that Seattle's there. Yeah. You have to really keep your eye on potentially the Giants as well at 36. So that's going to get interesting. You look at Minnesota, you look at Tampa. Tannenbaum said maybe Tampa, but they got Kyle Trask from Florida. They like him. They drafted him last year.
They do like him. Right.
And Kirk Cousins is there. Kirk Cousins is going to be there for a while. They just locked him up.
Are you sure, though?
But Tennessee, interesting.
Yes. They're at the pick where the Jets moved up, so they're at 35 now.
Their team that's cash strapped, right? And that's why they let, A.J. Brown go only to draft somebody that's exactly like A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks, right? And this is a team last year that had Super Bowl aspirations. Remember, they had the best record without Derrick Henry.
That's right.
And they had they were almost the number one seed. And now you give away a receiver like A.J. Brown. I mean, maybe you're hitting the reset button and saying, let's get back cheap and get our books in order. And if you bring in a guy like Malik Willis, who has a lot of the similarities, you think about Ryan Tannehill's a mobile quarterback with a strong arm. They can mess around and say, let's go get cheap, and then we can get him off the books again next year. And now we have Ryan Tannehill's replacement, who underwhelmed in the playoffs. They lost because he threw picks to Eli Apple. That's a fireable fence within itself. And, they were the favorite, only to get upset by the Bungles.
I would watch Detroit on this one. It could be interesting. They could move up again. You say the Giants, and the Giants are a team to watch maybe because it also buys you time. Because you do have Daniel Jones for one more year. They did not pick up his option. That's the big story. And you could give him time. And I look at Brian Daboll and the way he likes to play, and you look at Willis and you think to yourself, could they bring him in as a guy who will develop and push? Tyrod Taylor's the backup right now. There's no pressure on him to play immediately, but it could be the move. There's several teams that could make that move, Bart. Very interesting.
Another point to your Giants pick, and I know we're going to go back to the calls.
Yep.
But the fact that, if you go get Willis, you already have enough equity, good faith because of what you did in above. They don't have any more glaring holes anymore.
So this is
a pick of luxury.
Yeah, I like I said, you could do that, or you could trade it to a team like Detroit and get some more draft capital. There's a lot of things at play for the Giants at number 36. But what happens before them with Tennessee at 35 getting that Jets pick could make that difference. You don't leave them on the board if you're the Giants. You either trade out or you pick them. When I'm talking about Willis, we'll talk more.
It's some hell of a linebackers, really. N'Kobe Dean did not get picked,
and there's that whole part of it as well. It's gonna be a very interesting second round. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. We'll continue with your calls. Also, as Bart mentioned, that AJ Brown trade is a big trade. It can have impact for both the team that traded him and the team that acquired him, and also could have impact on Deebo Samuel as well. We will discuss. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Bless you.
That's an all-time drop. All-time drop. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. To the calls we go, Bart Scott. Okay, dealer's choice. Seahawks, Jets, Vikings, Bengals, or...
Let's go to Cashville.
Strange.
Let's go to Cashville.
You going to Cashville?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I didn't even bring that one up because I was going to talk about it next.
Oh, my bad.
I want to save it for because the next.
Yeah, well, let's go to Cole.
Yeah, I know you want to talk about Cole Strange, so we'll go to Will in Illinois. Will, who is Cole Strange?
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
I'm just curious. Do you think that Cole Strange was New England's number one guy on their board last night going in? Because, I mean, I think he does. The fact that they traded down. And then, additionally, who do you think New England goes with today? A guy like John Metchie makes sense to me, former teammate of Mac Jones.
You talking about who should the Patriots go for?
Well, first he's asking about Cole Strange. Was he always like the main guy and they knew they'd get him? That's why they moved him around. I mean, it's a big dude. He can play several positions along the line, big guy, and they expect him to start right away.
There's no way that they had him ahead of Zion Johnson or one of the other premier.
But they weren't
going to
be available
guy.
To the Patriots. Like that.
Hold up, Jermaine Johnson fell how far?
Well, that's true. I think they were looking though for that line. They have a young quarterback. Get yourself a line that's not going to cost you a ton of money out of the gate
and
build it up.
They gave away Shaq Mason for a fifth round draft pick. Mm-hmm. So, if you were just going to pick somebody in that same position, you didn't have somebody that was already there that was good to just plug in, maybe a younger player. Why go out and project somebody that's going to be good in that position when you had somebody that was cheap and good in that position? I didn't understand it. Once again, it's one of those reaches for me when you think about the Patriots, like when they took Kyle Duggar a couple of years ago, when they could have got Kyle Duggar a couple of rounds later. Mm. Now, they should be aggressive and move up and get a guy like N'Kobe Dean because they need somebody that can play in space when you're going against Miami, when you're going against the Buffalo Bills. Last year, they looked slow with Van Noy, Jamie Collins, and Hightower, these big 6'4 guys. Look like they're running with their feet in the mud. They got to go get a guy like N'Kobe Dean that's sideline to sideline.
It's not going to be easy. I mean, they pick at 54 in the second round. They probably have to package some picks to move up to get Dean. I can't imagine Dean last that long, right, Bart? I mean, even though you think it'd be a great fit.
I don't see him lasting past the Jets. The Jets, I know they love Quentin Williams, but, a guy like that that's a first-round draft pick, that's like the Jets getting four first-round draft picks, which is exactly what I told you they had when I told you they had two number two second-round draft picks.
More of this in 10 seconds.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Everybody wants to talk about their team, what they did or maybe what they didn't do, what they will do today as the second and third rounds of the NFL draft are tonight. Full coverage begins on ESPN Radio at 6 p.m. Eastern. You'll get it also on ESPN2 on TV. Bart, the wide receiver market was interesting because not only were there picks with wide receivers where it was early and often, and you saw teams move up to get their wide receivers, you also saw teams trade away wide receivers, including, which was a bit of a surprise, A.J. Brown traded from the Titans to the Eagles, and then he gets a big contract from the Eagles, $100 million. Mike Vrabel talking about the A.J. Brown trade from Tennessee.
I just am confident that we went to the extreme to try to keep AJ here, involved with the process through the entire time. We're going to continue to coach our guys, develop them, try to make it about the team. And this is just another example of making tough decisions that hopefully it, in the long run, it's going to make our team better.
Yeah, but
what
in
you
the
read
present,
out of that, that was very interesting.
Yeah,
what he said there was about team, meaning that AJ was kind of making it too much about himself.
Well, it came time for him to get paid, right? Remember, he's a guy, one of these guys. We still got Terry McLaurin, and it's interesting enough that Washington took a receiver instead of taking a guy like Kyle Hamilton, who I thought they would have taken because he was number one on most people's board, top five anyway. You think about Jahi Dotson from there, but remember, Terry McLaurin is one of these guys, like A.J. Brown, like D.J. Samuels.
Hamilton was off the board by the time Washington had a chance.
Washington kept moving back.
That's right, they kept moving back. You're right.
They had an opportunity to take arguably what some people thought was a top two talent in this draft, and they decided to stay pat and move back, but they went and got a receiver because, like them, remember, because they have Curtis Samuels, right, that they gave a big deal from from the Carolina Panthers last year.
McLaurin,
and they have Terry McLaurin, and Terry McLaurin's another guy. Him and Deebo Samuel was part of those second-round draft picks who have exceeded their contract, and maybe that's a little insurance in case they can't sign him. So maybe he can be on the move as well and surprise us today, much like how, you know, A.J. Brown surprises Ben on the move next year. Who knows? Maybe Green Bay's working on that one. So
Now, it's too early. We were going to do Barstradamus a little bit later on the show, but are you giving us a little hint of Barstradamus?
Are you? Well, just look at what's coming down, man. My beautiful mind sees the board opening. And why would you go out and get a guy in a first round when you got a guy in the second round that's a number one, and you got Curtis Samuels there? So that means it's not room for one of these others. You're not just stacking three number one receivers when you only start two of them, unless potentially you can't get a deal done for $25 million or less than $25 million. And now you just see, you don't think McLaurin just saw AJ get paid $25 million? You don't see Deebo looking like, yo, this dude just got $25 million?
Yeah. Oh, clearly. And for the Eagles, they're definitely stacking up. They love their wide receivers. Alex is in Tennessee. I want to know what Alex thinks, though, of his Titans losing the A.J. Brown.
Oh, hey, guys. Bart, you sort of beat me to it there a minute ago. But, here in Tennessee, I don't think it was a big surprise that A.J. Brown got traded in the first round, because just how Tennessee uses and values their wide receiver position. And I'll just leave that one there. But also, I think they were really high on Pickett, the quarterback. But when Pittsburgh took him, that's when you sort of saw them back off that 26th pick. So, but they're also pretty high on Malik Willis. So, I think if anybody wants him, they're going to have to trade in front of Tennessee in the top of the second.
Yeah. Yeah, that also would be interesting to see what type of movement happens at the very top of the second round.
Man, there's some good players
teams that
left,
could be
bro.
In the market for quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wouldn't start right away. And that's Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill, they're with him now, but I don't know how much longer, right? Like, that's
they gave him the old vote of confidence when people were calling for his head for how he played in the playoff game, right? And, you know, he could be, oh, listen, you lose him the way you get him. And he came in to come look for somebody's job, and he eventually took Mariota's job, and maybe some young whippersnapper is eyeing this as a place where I can, you know, take his spot, because not only are these guys cheaper, they may be just as good as he is, and maybe we've seen the best of Ryan Tannehill a couple of years ago, because this is telling me that you don't trade A.J. Brown, and even though Treylon Burks is a good player and similar to A.J. Brown, you can't tell me that he's going to be the same player that A.J. Brown was this year. So now you're telling me expectations should be lowered, because you're not going to get the same productivity out of a rookie, out of a four-year Pro Bowl stud. So that's telling me that you're already knowing that you may take a step back.
And you know also that's King Henry's team. I mean, it's not like, you know, going to get the bulk of the reps. Paying an A.J. Brown the money that he wanted to get paid, that didn't make sense for Tennessee, at least not where they are right now.
It should have. Because this is the team that had the best record. And the reason why King Henry can eat is because you can't go man-to-man, one-on-one. You saw what he did to the Ravens. Like, he was taking their best guys, Marlon Humphreys, and throwing them around like a little boy. Like, people talk about how big DK Metcalf is. He's just a shorter version. You saw with their shirt off. Yeah, DJ was shredded like a Julian salad, but this dude was like a chopped salad, and he had a little bit more bulk to him.
Let's take Garth in Florida. What's happening, Garth?
What's up, guys? Actually, I'm in your second favorite market in Fort Myers. So,
oh yes, yeah, baby.
I was just there.
Keep our Q rating hot up.
In Fort Myers. Man, it's beautiful there. I loved it.
Right?
No, it's beautiful. Good. The weather was incredible.
Like, right by Napa, right?
I was by Estero, right? Is that how you say it? Estero? I was over there.
Estero, yeah. That's exactly where I'm at right now. Actually, that's awesome. Yeah, but I wanted to call in and say, because I like listen to you guys. Like, you guys are usually on my drive. I'm in the car in the afternoon, so I've always listened to you guys. And I was excited with Bart was going to be on the coverage, so I ended up having the TV on with the sound down, listening to Bart and Uncle Tannenbaum go crazy. And there was when Houston did the Houston thing, I was just like, oh my gosh, Barstradamus is so right. I'm gonna start calling you for some financial help, because this man knows how to pick them.
And he also knows how to laugh.
Oh,
that was hilarious.
Uh-oh. Garth, I think you've summoned him.
Yeah, that's baby. Right.
I think you have. I believe Bartradamus is scheduled to be on the show today. I think it's 2:30 Eastern. But
the
I think
Jets
he's on his way. You can hear the music already.
Can you guys imagine the Jets getting greedy? Can they get greedy? Just imagine if the Jets.
Can we get greedy?
With their second pick. Say,
we
you know what?
To get to
I'll take David
up.
Ajabo and wait for a year.
Stay with us, Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.